I mean, this is insane what's going on here. This got to stop. I don't want to be distracted, so. And I'm easily distracted, as you know. Okay, wow. This is insane what happened. I don't know if I'm going to be able to package this for you. So I want to begin by praying that I'm going to share some weird stuff that I haven't shared before, just because I didn't really know the context. But the Lord has been speaking to me so profoundly in the last couple of days that I'm just, I mean, where else but the church to tell it? Okay, so I want to pray about this because there's so many facets to what I'm about to tell you that I don't want to miss any, and I don't want to talk about the stuff that's not important. So I have to stay like laser beam focused because I'm telling you this is, woo! Okay, so let's pray. God, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to be in our minds, to keep us from being distracted, to prepare our hearts for all the seeds and everything that you want to plant in us and all the stuff you want to pull out of us. For all the love you want to give us and reveal to us, for all the restoration that you want to do in our souls, God, and all the creating that you want to do in all of us together. I pray, God, for an unction from your Holy Spirit that will surpass my disabilities of being distracted easy and all the different stuff that jumps around. And I just pray, God, that you would help me be clear and express this message that you have given that is just so beautiful. Help, God, I pray that I will do this justice in Jesus' name. Okay, so what happened was Douglas's mom died and we came back, and then Douglas's sister-in-law died. And then we were like, we were already gone a month helping her, and who's going to preach next? And I was worried that Douglas was going to feel the pressure of coming back too soon. And I know Ron and Dan had been covering a lot of stuff, and everybody has jobs. And so I was like, well, I'll preach till next Sunday, you know, and I don't know what happened, something. I probably got sick or something. And then then the sister-in-law died. I was supposed to preach that Sunday, and then the sister-in-law died, so we were in all that stuff, and so I'm like, Dan, can you preach? And then, okay, so now came my week, and then I got that flu that went around, and I was like, no, I'm not going to preach. But right before I got the flu, I told Dan, I got this message from the Lord, it's on the weight of glory, and I told Gabe too. Who else did I tell that to? Cindy? Doug? A couple people. He's like, what? No, probably not. Okay, so Gabe and Dan and Cindy. And I was saying, no, I got this message on the weight of glory. Dude, it's so going to be so good. So then I came in Wednesday, and we had a really great prayer meeting, and the Lord was moving. And we came in, and we were talking about the body. Okay, now I'm getting into my message. Do you want me to say that first or last? I think if I go chronologically, it'll be easier for me. Cindy tells me, we went out to lunch or something, and she tells me, I've been praying, like, and she lasers in on me, and, like, I'm telling you something serious here. She gets this look. And she says, I was, like, weeping. I've been praying a lot for the body, for them to, like, take up what they have and, like, engage it and really be doing the work of what God is calling them to do with excellence. And she didn't say excellence. I'm putting my words on. But what she was trying to articulate to me was that she's weeping before the Lord, like, come on, guys, go and do it. Take it up and move forward like that. And I'm looking at her going, yeah, oh, okay, if she's saying that she's weeping about this, something spiritual is happening. And the Lord had told me a long time ago, pay attention to what Cindy says, because those intercessors who go in and pray for the body, they tend to hear things before we do because the Lord is moving them to pray for things that are coming. And so I'm listening to her, okay? So I'm trying to pay attention. So I start to pray about what she's praying about. And I'm asking, what about Wednesday? These Wednesday night prayer meetings are utterly important for us at the church, because it's like we go and we try to use our gifts and hear the Holy Spirit as he works through the body and get a hold of what God has for us, the message that God has for us. A lot of times Douglas will take that message that's revealed through the gifts of the people at that prayer time, and he will present the message that came from those meetings. That's how God has been kind of leading us along our way at Wellspring, which is fantastic, which I won't get into. All right, so what happened was we get there, and I'm like, you guys, something's happening to me. Like, I'm hearing this call to go deeper, and I know I talk about this a lot, but it's like I'm so not where I should be. I can see down the road, and I'm like, oh, I want to get there, and I know it's valuable, but so I know I've expressed that struggle a lot, because I feel like if I express it, then maybe you'll look at your own struggle with your own relationship with the Lord and really giving yourself over to it and what he wants to do and say and use you for. So we got in there, and I'm talking about that, and like, hey, something's going on. I have some more freedom. I have been just saying stuff that's been coming, and God's been like popping up here and here and here. And then what happened was, the Holy Spirit just moved around that group of people. Lydia, I'm glad you came in, because I almost stopped and said, stay in here. The Lord was moving around that group of people, and people started to express what they were hearing from the Lord, and it was like this message unfolded and was like presented to us. And then it was confirmed from a bunch of different aspects. From scriptures, from a song Sophie was led to do, from prayers people were praying, from, hey, I need to be doing that. What about this? You know, it was like you could see all of a sudden the Lord was bringing together this message. Well, I could go two ways right now. What's the right way to go? I want to highlight the message of that night. Because it's part of what I believe the Lord wants us to hear today. Devin, you got to sit down. You're freaking me out because I'm really easily distracted. All right, thanks. So what happened was, I believe it was Wendy who started it off. And she was dancing in the middle. Wendy, are you here?
No.
Okay. She was dancing in the middle, and I was going, oh yeah, Wendy's back from being pregnant. She's dancing, and it's freaking me out. And no offense, Wendy, if you're listening online, because she knows it kind of troubles you because it's different. You know, it's way out of my German background comfort zone, okay? So I closed my eyes, and she was doing this, and all of a sudden, as she was going, I could kind of like feel, I could sometimes feel Wendy in my spirit, like I can feel she's doing something spiritual. She's engaging something spiritual, and her freedom is bringing freedom. Something's happening. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange. All of a sudden, Wendy stops, and she's like, I believe like God is saying that he's worshiping us as we're worshiping him. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like heresy. I got to correct her, you know, right away. So I'm like, what is she really hearing? Because I've noticed with Wendy, because she has a background in a lot of New Age stuff, that she, when she tries to articulate what she's hearing something from the Lord. That girl's laser beaming after God, and it is glorious to watch. But she, when she said it, I was like, no, there's something there she's getting. What is it? We just got to stick the right words on it. And I'm like, oh, she's getting Zephaniah 3:17, where it says, he's rejoicing over us with shouts of joy. In other versions, songs of joy. There's really no great interpretation for that little chunk of words, but I'm going to talk about that in a second. So I said Zephaniah 3:17, and then Dan said, well, the word worship in Greek is... The word worship in Greek is... something, something.
It means to give worth to.
Yeah, to give worth to. So the Lord is giving worth to us. As we're giving worth to him, so worshiping us as we're worshiping him isn't really that, you know, it's not that far off from being biblical if you see it as him ascribing worth to us. And so So I'm like, okay, yeah. So now we're moving. Now here we go. And all of a sudden, Craig, whoo, he's kind of like whispering over to me, I got this scripture, Zephaniah 3:17. Or Zephaniah chapter 3, actually, the whole chapter. I'm on the wrong page. So if we look at Zephaniah 3:17, if you guys got your Bibles, open them, because I'm going to go through these scriptures because the message in here is fantastic. Now I have a little thingy here. Let's see. Okay. The Lord your God is in your midst. That word in Hebrew, midst, means inside of you. Gosh, wait till I get to the end of this. A victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. It doesn't mean like, I love her, but I'm not going to say anything. It means I'm so in love with you that I'm like, you know, so much emotion, nothing's coming out. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. So from Wendy expressing what she gets as she's worshiping God and the Spirit speaks to her, and Dan comes in with some of his teaching stuff, and I come in with the kind of the office gifting and the gifting of prophecy to know, is this from the Lord? We come up with this message, and Craig comes up from his Bible reading time and confirms in that moment that the Lord is speaking to us, that he loves us like a victorious warrior. The closest thing I've come to seeing a victorious warrior is hearing about the battles in Rwanda. I know some World War II, I would hear some Vietnam War stuff. I would hear just little bits by guys, street guys, when I was working out in California. But it was different. They seemed like they were a cog in a wheel. But in Rwanda, the Tutsis were coming back into their country as genocide was occurring. These Tutsis on the outside joined together an army, and they came in to take back their land. They came in to fight for their land, for their homeland. The guy who led it, what's that guy's name? The hero for Hero Day. Do any guys know? I forget his name. It'll come back to me. He starts this war. He's the passion and the zeal behind it. And Paul Kagame, who is the one who leads it in the end, who is the president now, he's over in his, he's actually in the U.S. and he's being trained militarily. But the guy whose name I forget, I can't believe, he's there getting the groups together, the troops together over in Uganda, and they are, they're joining together, and he's stirring them by his passion, and he's moving them forward by his passion. And he brings, finally, the army comes out of the, I won't get into all the history, but they come together, and they begin to press into Rwanda to take back their land. He's shot on the first day. On the first insurgency, I think is the word, that man is shot and killed. So they got to call Paul Kagame to come in and help. This is Paul's best friend. He gave his life for his country. And all those warriors saw it. And they dug deep, and they pressed forward against all odds, and they took back their land. I would hear them every once in a while tell me stories, guards and so forth, about... They would yell stuff like, we're going to get to Kigali and we're going to drink the Amarulu. It's this stuff that Cindy drinks. It's this drink they have in the middle of Kigali. And it's like this, it's this celebration. It's like a symbol of fertility. And it's a symbol of rejoicing and peace in the land. And when they're talking about this, they're lighting up. These victorious warriors who have conquered for Rwanda, and they love Rwanda. You don't see that kind of love. You don't see that kind of love, that kind of my country, that kind of patriotism. A victorious warrior is how God loves us. He fought, he died, and he won us. And he rejoices over us. I mean, think about the war movies you've even seen. As they come in their land, yes, that almost raging, rejoicing passion. It's our land. We won. That's the kind of love that God has over you. Flipping out love over you. That was the message that he was trying to drill in us on Wednesday night. Then we go to the testimony night. And Matt begins to share his testimony. Matt's testimony is not even Matt's testimony. Matt's testimony is a story in Matthew. Oh, Matt. He starts to tell the story of the prodigal son, and the guy can't come out of it. And I'm sitting here laughing to myself in my mind thinking, he thinks he's giving his testimony. But he's literally telling the exact story of the prodigal son. He's not even saying, like, me or my sin until way later. He's saying the prodigal son and then his father, and he's telling it, but he's telling it like it's his story. And I'm watching him going, does Matt realize the Holy Spirit is speaking through him in this powerful way to tell us this message that God loves us like a father displaced from his children who see them coming down the road? Have you seen? I mean, you tell kids, you don't know love till you have your own baby. When you have your own baby, it's like, Doug's like, I can feel love coming out of my chest for this child. I can physically feel it. I'm like, me too. I can physically feel this love coming out for this baby. Everything he does, even burp, is like, whoa, he burped. You know, you're just like in awe and love this baby. And then as he grows, you're just so proud of him. The first time Zeb got on the wrestling mat, if they would have videotaped Doug and I, it would have been a YouTube sensation. I'm telling you, we were hysterical. We were like practically in tears. Go, Zeb! We were like, our baby's wrestling. You know, it was hysterical. You remember that, Douglas? We were like pounding on the mat, and it was hilarious. Okay, so you have these feelings, for those of you who don't have children, that are like raging, selfless, it's all about you love. And as parents, nod your head because you know what I mean. God loves us like a father who gave everything and loved dearly, and was his son was gone and hurting and away and worried, and now he's coming back. Like that moment, the only time in the Bible where it says God ran to his son and embraced him. This is the message that the Holy Spirit was trying to move through Matt to tell us, that God loves us like a father displaced from his children who see him coming down the road. That's the message that the body came forth from the Holy Spirit at that meeting. After Wednesday night, Dan texted me, I'm telling you, this long of a text. And you know how some people's text, it all jarbles up? So I'm like, what? I'm going through it. No way. I can't get it. But I see at about the 15th one, there's a scripture. And I know that Ashley has gave him the scripture. So I looked it up, and I want to read it to you. Because after Wednesday, he said, I believe it's from the Lord. Ashley got this. This is Zechariah 8:8. It is cooking up here. Zechariah, no, oh, I'm on it, okay, 8:8, that's not the right one, actually, Zechariah 8, what did you give me, Ashley, 8:8-9, that's the first one. Okay, here it is. 8, it starts with 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight? He's kind of being lippy, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts. See, it's not lippy when you know who you are. Douglas told me that. He's right. It's not lippy. It's like, Do you know what I mean by that look? Behold, I am going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west, and I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. There's more. What's the next one, Ashley? 12 and 13, I think? Let's go down there. For there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit. The land will yield its produce. And the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. It will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you that you may become a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. Then we're going to pop over to 20. Thus says the Lord of God of hosts, it will yet be that peoples will come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. So many people and the mighty nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The beginning of those scriptures that she sent talks about the Lord of hosts calling back his people and being their God. God loves us like a victorious warrior. Yes! God loves us like a displaced father seeing his son. Yes! But God also loves us like a God. He is the God who created it all, Matt was telling us last night. Created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. What is creating an earth to him? Nothing. A universe here, a universe there. God is so much greater, and he loves us like a God. He has our back. We heard Zeb say, he has our back. Okay. So the messages of these three nights, or the Wednesday night, the next day when Ashley sent, actually Chris sends something over Facebook that day also, and then we have testimony night, and we're hearing things from the Lord there. What I'm doing for you, because when I got sick and I told Dan I can't preach, he said you had a word from the Lord, and I'm like, that weight of glory message wasn't for the church, it was for me. It wasn't for the church, because I went to pray about getting the message, and it was not there. I'm like, this is not the message. So I'm like, I don't have the message. He's like, and Dan always says yes. Always, always steps up when I am like, I can't do this. So what happens? He comes back Saturday. I can't preach. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. I got to do this bottle of thing. I got to go to my mom's. I got to come home and write a sermon. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to write the sermon, but I have no sermon. So I go home. Now to write a sermon, it's 9:30 and I'm tired. I've just been sick. I'm tired. I say to Brenda, that was a great night, but I got to have this sermon by 10:30 because if I don't get sleep, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's 9:15. I sit down and I say, God, you have to give me a sermon. I have 1 hour and 15 minutes. Boom. I already gave you the sermon. When? What? I don't have the sermon. I gave it to you through the body. On Wednesday night, we came in here. Our very first prayer was that we would hear the message from the Lord through the body. I'm like, yeah, there's been a lot going on this week. A lot of people are saying, this is from the Lord, this is from the Lord. What one? So I sat down and I wrote the dates out. Wednesday night, Thursday, because that's when Ashley and Chris sent that stuff. And then I wrote down Saturday night. And then under each one, I wrote down what people said was from the Lord. And I had this sermon. And I started to say, hey, the message from the Lord is that God loves us like a victorious warrior. He loves us like a father. He loves us like a God. And he loves us unto restoration. In these scriptures that were given, and in these testimonies that were given, and in these things that were given from Ashley and Chris, the message a part of the message that was there and really prominent was that he doesn't just love us, he loves us and it restores us. He loves us like a victorious warrior, and he also delivers us and restores us from our enemies. Zeb's testimony about the world being after him. When Zeb started, he started to give his testimony, and he was saying how right away when he was born, he went into cardiac arrest, and I had to literally like do CPR and call 911. We got him alive. He went into Children's Hospital, and it happened again. Back through that whole thing, a couple of months in that Children's Hospital. Zeb said, after Zeb told that, he said, even then the world was after me. And at the end of Zeb's testimony, I shared the story about how before Douglas and I even knew we were pregnant, this lady came out on her porch and I said, Douglas, the Lord just told me that lady's a witch and she's cursing or coming against the baby inside me. And we're like, what? And Doug walks over there. Do you remember, Douglas? You walked over there and you asked that lady and you talked to her and you came over and you prayed with me. The enemy was after Zeb, and I believe the enemy's after Zeb because of what God wants to do through Zeb. But God, who loves us, gives us power over our enemies, and he restores us from the damage the enemies do to us. Not just people who hate us, but we all have an adversary that roams like a lion, seeking who he can devour. He's looking for you to sin so he can have a foothold in your life, so he can destroy you from that place. We all fight that enemy. And God gives us the power to be delivered from that enemy and be restored from the damage that that enemy gives us and puts in us and causes us to be so in pain. God restores that. That was the message of last night over and over in those boys' testimonies. If you go back to Zephaniah 3, which was our first scripture that we got at the prayer meeting, Zephaniah 3, 14 and 16. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. And it goes on. God restores us, and he loves us unto that restoration from all the damage from the enemy. The next message that kept coming in Matt's story was, he delivers us and restores us from the consequences of our own sin. Has nothing to do with the devil. Has to do with us and what we want and what we do. And those consequences hurt us and it hurt everyone around us. Don't think that your little sins only hurt you. The devil loves to take advantage and hurt everyone around you. Even people who hear of you are hurt. Think of suicide. Think of somebody who's killed themselves and how you've only heard it, but it's hurt you. And now you're afraid of it. And now you fear it for somebody else in your life. And you start to behave differently around them. When someone sins, the consequences spread around like the flu. And the flu is nasty. All right. Zephaniah 3:20. It confirms what we were hearing, what Matt was saying about that. At that time I will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together, indeed I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. God will restore us from our own stupidity. He talked about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son took a third of all of what the father had, went out, spent it all on his flesh. That wasn't the enemy, that was him wanting to have a good time. That was him just wanting to be sinful. And he did it. And then he came back. And what happened? Did God be like, go, you naughty boy? No, he brought him in and he restored. He loved him and he restored him. Not only in the prodigal son, but in Matt's life as he shared that with us. We had that testimony. And those testimonies are so important because when we hear it, just how sin travels, testimony, so much more powerful. We hear it, we take it in, it affects us, it gives us the power to overcome the enemy. That's what the Bible says about our testimony. God works through those things. He speaks to the body through those testimonies, and that's what he was doing that night. The other thing he restores us from, the enemy, our own sin consequences, he also restores us from our wandering. When we're not really doing anything wrong, we're not really being pulled away by the enemy, but we just kind of go our own way. There's a lot of people in that place. We're just going to not be a terrible, evil person, but we're just going to do what we want to do. When we go our own way and we wander, God calls us back from that kind of wandering. Zephaniah 3:20 talks about that. That's the Ashley message. And why I keep going back to these messages is because I'm trying to show you that in the testimonies and in those scriptures shared, that this message was building and it was being confirmed. And it was putting, there was a skeleton and some bones and some flesh was put on this message. So I'm referring back to the times when people were giving it. Not if you know what I mean. Okay, I gotta get a drink of water. I'm losing my voice. Can you? Nope, that's not enough. Okay. He restores us from our wandering. Right before Jennifer left on Wednesday, now she's gone too, I wish she was here to hear this. She gave this testimony just out of nowhere. Did you notice how all of a sudden Jennifer just spoke up out of nowhere? And she talked about how sickness and struggle, but God was speaking to her in it and he was helping her overcome and she was learning in this. And then after she shared that testimony, she like, you could see her, like she just heard something from the Lord, and she bent over towards me and she said, "The Lord is saying to whistle them back." And I'm like, okay. So I let that kind of go around in my head. And if you read in Zechariah 10:8, that's the scripture that talks about that. Where is that in the Bible? Zechariah 10:8. I know that one more. It says, "I will whistle for them to gather them together, for I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before." Now think about, like, for us in our culture, we're not like cowboys. A lot of us don't have a lot of cows, but if you did have cows, you would know that you can whistle to call the cows back in, like you're going to feed them. You can whistle. Some horses are trained that way. Actually, some bees are trained that way. People who tend bees can actually whistle for them to come back into the hive. We whistle for our dog. He's trying to use that, like, come, my neighborhood, we whistle for our friends. And we, you know, if we were at a big party, not a party, but like Cheese Fest or something, and we didn't know where our friends were, we'd insert that whistle, and then they look and they find you and then they come. Is that funny? Why is that funny? Okay, anyway. It's very effective. And my kids know it too. I'll be at Walmart and be like, "Where are they?" And then they come around the corner looking. So that whistle is like, okay, it's time. And this is what the Lord is saying, and what Jennifer was hearing prophetically was, it's time to whistle them back in. Hey, all you wandering Christians. We talked about it, we heard about it, we know about it. There's a lot of Christians who aren't attending church because they've been so hurt. It's time to and whistle those people back into the church. It's time. If you think about it, I think it might have been Dan. Somebody was talking about seeds, and it's time to call forth those seeds to be coming to fruition now. It's time for all the ways that we have shared the gospel and loved people and ministered in Jesus' name. All these people are kind of wandering and going about their way and not really following the Lord, kind of in sin, kind of not, just doing whatever they want to do. It's time now to say, it's time. Come on home. Come on in. We got some business to take care of. It's, again, the restoration of God, the love of God that restores us, not only personally, but it restores the body. And he calls, he keeps calling over and over in the Bible, calling his people back to himself, calling his people back to himself. Why? Because he loves them? Because he wants to restore them. Now, part of the calling people, the whistle, is love. It's the love of God that gives us purpose, that gives us importance, that redeems us, that saves us. It's the love of God that restores us and delivers us. And it's the love of God that makes us into vessels of his love, so that he can get more people to be feeling the love of God, to be restored, to become vessels, to spread more of the love of God. That's our purpose. That's what he was telling us this week. That's what he's telling us today. There's a purpose. And if you listened on Wednesday night, we heard that there are spiritual orphans. There are people out there, Cindy was talking about, who are like, they are like kids. They are like people here who maybe are children of divorce, or maybe their parents are working, but they're out there and they're like orphans. They don't know the love of a parent, really, because their parents have been gone. And just like in Rwanda, you can look and you can see the orphan's face because his eyes are different. I don't know how to explain it to you, but you can see it after a while there. You can tell who's an orphan and who's not an orphan. They're everywhere. When Eric Irvuzumgabe, I said that right, Ron? Where are you? When he came here and stayed with us for a year or so, he's an orphan from the genocide. And those kids, they can see orphans. They know who they are. When he came to the U.S., he said, there are orphans everywhere. He could see the look in the orphan's face here on the kids here in the U.S. And they were children. I would say, who are they, Eric? This one, this one, this one. He was pointing to children whose parents were either divorced and left, and they felt like there wasn't anyone they had anymore. And that's not every divorced kid, but a lot of them. And they were also the children of parents who both worked and nobody was home. We used to call it latchkey kids. Kids who no parents were home parenting them. So as Cindy was hearing this from the Lord, that we're to reach out to these kids, I'm thinking about John. Hope this isn't too personal, John Griswold. And I start saying, God, this makes me think of John Griswold, ma'am. We've got to love him. I like to, when I hear stuff from the Lord, I like to put it on an actual thing I can do. An actual, you know, he doesn't just tell us metaphysical things. He tells us spiritual things for us to apply to our everyday life. So I started to pray for John. It was within days that he comes on Facebook and is like, am I supposed to be baptized? I'm like, yeah. Woo! And it's God calling John back through the word, through Cindy, through the praying, through the hearing. You see how the body is working? To do what? To restore, to rebuild, to use, to love more, to restore, to build, to use. Another one we heard from Chris was, he sent this thing on Facebook, was he was saying basically what I just said. Don't just hear it. Love each other. Don't just be people who talk about it or believe it and feel it, but be doers. Love someone. I got to tell you, I hear this over and over from Ben. He will, if you listen to Ben, he has a gift of word of knowledge. Ben Renault, he's back in the corner. You can look at him. See him in the red shirt? He has a gift of the word of knowledge. He didn't know it at first. He'd say stuff and I'd be like, dude, that's the word of knowledge. Because it would come out like a piece of fine silver. It'd be like, there it is. Often what Ben will be saying is, love each other. Do it actively. And when he says it, I listen because I feel this is from the Lord. And so when I hear it, I think, I shouldn't be thinking, yeah, Zeb should be loving people better. And, you know, Brenda, she needs to get on her loving. And Douglas, well, phew, he needs a lot of loving. I try not to do that because that's our way. The other church never loves people. I try to say, Joey, how are you loving people? Because if we don't, you know, the whole Michael Jackson thing, the man in the mirror, and if we don't start here and all that, it's the way of God. He likes to deal with us individually. Are you laughing because Michael Jackson? He likes to, 80s, You know? You're all embarrassed. What's a new one? Is there a new man in the mirror message? Okay, so he likes to deal with us personally, and then he likes to deal with us in our group, and then he likes to deal with us in our body, and then he likes to deal with us in the body of Christ, and then he likes to deal with us in the world. That's how God deals with us. That's how we need to deal with ourselves and with each other. So that was the message. The last message of all of this message was salvation. We talked about it Wednesday. We talked about it Friday. Those guys talked about it the Thursday. We were hearing over and over again what the reason all this love is for. What the reason all this restoration is for. It's for overcoming. It's for building the body of Christ. It's for bringing them out of darkness into the marvelous light. It's the purpose we're here for. It's the love of God exemplified. It's the whole package. It's where we start. It's where we come around to. Okay, so last night, where are we at time? Because I'm not even started yet. Okay, so I'm kidding. I just have the really good ending, which I've been holding off, and I can't wait to tell you guys. So I wrote that down, point by point, what people said, and I had this message. God loves us, point one. Point two, he loves us to restoration. Point three, so that we can love others. And then all those subpoints, and then all those scriptures to back them up. Okay, great, I got a message. I took a picture of my paper, I sent it to Brenda Blair and said, see, I got it, it was 10:26. Because remember I told the Lord at 9:15 I needed it by 10:30? Then I went to bed thinking it was all done, and isn't God great? He gave a message through the body, and it wasn't even started. Because what he showed me in the middle of the night, I don't even know if I can explain to you, but I'm going to try. As weird as I'm going to sound to you guys. And you new believers or people who are not saved yet, this might get uncomfortable. But for people who've been in church a long time, you're going to really love this. Because you're going to get it at a different level. It came to me in pieces. And what I saw first was so hysterical that I woke up laughing. And I was like, I hope Douglas didn't hear me. Because, you know, I don't think people laugh when they're all alone. But Douglas tells me that's not. Do you guys laugh when you're alone?
Yeah.
Okay, good. See? People laugh. Okay, so here's me laughing. It was hysterical. What I saw was, I want you to keep in mind, when I see things very, very spiritual like this, they're very hard to explain. So I'm giving them normal words. But you have to think beyond those normal words, okay? So I see me and some friends from like high school. I have friends from high school who have been my friends my whole life. So some of those friends who have been friends a long time. And we are in something and we are falling, but we know we have to get over the top of this little ledge. And I'm trying to get up, and they're grabbing me and pulling me back down, and I'm laughing hysterically because I'm like, dude, if you will let me get up, then I can help you. And they're laughing, so I'm like, okay, try. And I'm just about to get it, and I fall, and then all of a sudden, one of my friends is like, look, there's a step. And then we bust out laughing in hysterics, and I step on the step, and I step over the edge, and all of a sudden, like all this light is like laser show piercing silvery white light, and I'm like, what is this? And I look down, and we are climbing up, it's going to get weird, what looks like the inside of a vertebrae. So if you, there was no marrow in there. So if you think of a spine, okay, how a spine looks, one disc, we're climbing to get over the top of that disc. And I'm like, what is this? Now, no friends are there, it's just me. And I'm like, whoop, I'm in a vision. And I start to see in my disc, in this vertebrae, I see cut, 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 cut. And the vertebrae is made out of like crystal, glass. But like leaded glass. And I say that because there's more reflection. And the light is going up like the middle of the spine, and it's refracting around in that piece of vertebrae. You know how light turns like red and it's blue like that, and like rainbows going silvery, and I'm like, wow. And I'm looking at this going, what is this? And I hear a voice from behind me say, it's overcoming. Overcoming. And then I get like this understanding that we were in a little struggle. And we were trying to get up out of that struggle and over the top of that one piece. And then there was a step. And it was funny. And we stepped over it. And we were like, oh gosh, that wasn't even hard. And look, wow. Then it was like immediate knowing. The cuts, cut, 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 all over the disc. Overcoming, 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 overcoming. Victory, 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 victory. Of really easy stuff that we had help from people we didn't even think of. People who seemed to only be helping a little were actually sent in there to help and to enjoy the process, because the process was really kind of stupid. Like when you get in those balls, do you remember that? I don't know, when you're like in a... Like Burger King has that ball thing, and I don't know if you got in there with your kids or if you're too old for that, but you get in there and you're like, oh, and you're laughing because you can't really stand, and you're falling around, not if you know what I mean. Like that kind of silly kind of a thing to overcome. So I'm like, okay, what? And I'm like taking it in, and I know from these visions that what I'm seeing is bigger than my mind. I'm not smart enough. My mind is not big enough to understand fully what I'm just getting a little of. Now, with that thought, I want to say to you, flying around on that vertebrae in that cut was this light that was so pure and so sparkly and so alive and full of energy that it was breathtakingly amazing, beautiful to stand there and watch. And it was glorified by the cuts. You'll see on my table right now, because Douglas was painting a very electric blue, a lot of cut glass we got from Douglas's mother. I was like, please get the cut glass, because I love cut glass. Anybody who knows me know I love leaded crystal. I love diamonds, but I thought they were out of reach, but now I have one. But I love that because I also have the little prisms hanging in my window, because I love that light refraction. Because it reminds me of what I see spiritually. I don't like to tell people what I see because it's so weird and hard to share. But when I see that light coming through that stuff, that cut glass, it reminds me of that marvelous light. And so I'm like, okay, wait, what are you trying to show me? So this little vertebrae, it's full of cuts, full of overcoming, full of struggles that we overcome to show the glory of God, how He helps us overcome. And then we go to the next vertebrae. And the next vertebrae. And I say, what are you making? A spine. A spine for what? A body. A body. Now, he doesn't mean like our body. He means like the body. And I say, why are you making a body? He said, I'm preparing a bride. Dude, the bride of Christ. From all time. From all overcoming. Reflecting His glory from our overcoming. The best story of all is that Jesus Himself went down to hell and was crushed and rose again. The best overcoming that took all of sting out of death, that gave us all victory through His blood, with the understanding that as we press forward and overcome whatever circumstances come, it's nothing but reflected glory. It's nothing but being a part of something so big and so beautiful and so exciting just to see. He said, if you think seeing the inside of that spine is amazing, wait till you get to the brain. It's so beyond our ability to get the beauty and the excitement and the purpose. And it all comes down to us tiny little individuals and our tiny little bullcrap that we have to deal with. If you have the flu, if your wife left you, if your mom died, if everybody called you the N-word, I don't know. If it's just been hard to go to work, if you had a vomit every day with pregnancy, these things have eternal weight. When you say no, I will not give in. I will take hold of what Jesus has done, and I will overcome. We have made another cut. We have made another place for that beautiful, marvelous light to reflect God's glory. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm like, that's why he kept saying, have marvelous light. That's why he kept saying, marvelous light. I kept telling Matt, sing marvelous light. I'm running. I feel like we're supposed to sing that song. That's why. Because this morning when I woke up and I really understood what God was showing me, it's marvelous light. The juice inside of that spine, the love and the energy and what? There was a light. Oh. Okay, wait. All of a sudden I can't breathe. What the heck? Why did I take my breath away? I saw it, but I tuned that out so much that I don't... Okay, so... Woo! No. Gosh, I can't breathe. Okay. Yeah, I gotta take a second. I know what's happening to me physically because he told me during worship. I said, why? Okay, so this is why you do the marvelous light. Wait, I want to say this first, what I was going to say before the light flashed. A light flashed from a car, just so you know, all you people. Well, maybe not. How do I know?
But it was
that's what I usually do. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so what happened was, the light shooting up through that spine's created for something. The nervous system, its blood, its life is around. That spine is around that life to protect it. Can I have an amen, Zeb? That life is Jesus. That life is God. That life is the Holy Spirit. What we're seeing is Him. We reflect His glory. We reflect His glory by our overcoming. And when we were doing that song, I'm like, I didn't know this part of the message. Everyone using their gifts and everyone talking about the love of God and everyone being used in the body and everybody overcoming and expressing it moved me into that place where I could hear more, I could see more. Just like me sharing this message will move you deeper. The more we lift up Jesus, the more He draws us to Him and reveals Himself. And I was like, I didn't know about this. And then I kept saying this marvelous light. This is the way that God deals with me. He goes in and he tells me something beforehand, and then he see afterwards so that I can't in my mind say it's not God. And I was sitting there going, it's the marvelous light song. I didn't know. And now he showed me, and you are the marvelous light. And I'm just like, and it's love that gets us to be able to reflect your glory. And I get it. I get it. And then all of a sudden, this is what he said to me. And I don't know if you saw me up there, but I'm like, I'm going to start crying really hard. Okay. This is what he said to me. Woo. Ready? Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And that is a weight of glory message. Amen.